How many of you need a vacation? How many of you? Yes, I'm actually going to talk about that dynamic in a minute. How many of you work, and all of a sudden you just say, I gotta take a break? So we had the privilege of being able to go on vacation last week. It wasn't one of those times where I feel like I had to get away. I do feel like that from time to time, but we know, as we're talking about rest in our series Time for a Break, that one of the dynamics we're going to talk about is rest from. That's what we're just talking about. Rest from that busyness of life, from that cycle of work or whatever it is in your life. And we're going to talk about resting in. That is, while things don't go away, how we still find rest. And we're going to talk about rest for, and that is getting ready to expend what we're taking in rest when we know that's happening and how to benefit from that. But before those breaks, before that time where you've worked yourself into a tizzy, I was that way a couple days ago. I was working on a bathroom in my basement, and I just got to the end. It's like my legs were aching, and I don't know if I could go on. Well, there's something that actually affects those times, which I would maybe term as emergency breaks or crisis breaks, and that is a rhythm of rest that we need to establish first. It has a direct bearing on how often you come to that place where you just feel like, I have to get out of here, I have to change the scene, I have to make a break and do a change. So that's what we're talking about today, is a restful rhythm. This is challenging in our culture, I'll let you know that ahead of time. I'm going to step on some toes a little later, hopefully everybody's toes equally so nobody feels slighted, but we need that in our culture, especially we need that. So if you have a handout this morning, number one in your handout is that rest rhythm is required. Rest is a great idea, right? And we go, well, when I can get it. And then you work in a certain way, and you have to get things lined up. And, you know, it's sort of like when we leave town, got to ask who's going to preach. And sometimes it's Pastor Doug and Pastor Jim and Pastor Mike. And Diana has a whole set of things she has to do. But according to God himself, it is a requirement, not something to be put off, a rhythm of rest. So we start in the book of Exodus, where this whole idea of rest after sin came into the world, really we get our definitions from. So verses 1 through 3 of Exodus 35, Moses assembled the whole Israelite community and said to them, "These are the things the Lord has commanded you to do." Pay attention to that word. We'll come back around. "For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day shall be your holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it must be put to death. Do not light a fire in any of your dwellings on the Sabbath day." Yikes! But we're going to talk about what that means here in a minute too. Rest is required. He uses the word command. It's interesting how we use that word command, remember that word command, when we talk about the commands of God. We have 10 commandments in the Old Testament that are principles that still apply no matter what has changed, and Jesus came to change all ceremonial law, but those 10 commandments have such valid underpinnings and foundation for us. There's lots of commands in the Word, and I don't know how you look at it, but when somebody says this is a command, that means if I don't do it, I'm in big, big trouble. And sometimes we ascribe that to the mighty judge in the sky with his big old hammer. I had a big old hammer like that once. I was unseating a tire on a big quarry dump truck, and it was ridiculous. It was a big hammer. It was like a cartoon hammer, and it didn't work. We had to use explosives, which was pretty cool anyway. But so we think that God is there ready to, you know, pound us with this. But what we need to understand is that when we don't do a command, we lose out. We lose out. So that's kind of a theme that hovers over our time together today. So here it is required that we have a rhythm of rest. God said it. Here, we'll talk more about that. So the next two passages are reviews from last week and week one. So A, under rest rhythm required, is celebrating goodness. That was the pre-sin purpose of God-ordained rest. before sin entered the world. As you remember, if you were here a couple of, actually 3 weeks ago now, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. And so if you remember, it was to stand back and go, everything's good. We're going to celebrate what's good. We're going to remember what's good. We're going to soak in goodness, and we're not going to extend an effort. We're just going to appreciate and remember. But B, it became a recovery for us after sin entered into the world. There wasn't need for recovery in the garden in the beginning. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed, again, they violated a commandment, and they suffered. Exodus 23:12, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the slave born in your household and the alien as well may be refreshed. You remember that was 2 weeks ago. We talked about refreshing and being refreshed and the need to do that. So it is the requirement of God, it is the command of God for the good of us that we have a rhythm of rest, which will impact the times where you have to take rest because you can't take it anymore because everything's ramped up and built up and piled up and you feel burdened. It has such an impact. So number two is the driven danger. That is the danger to be driven to continue and not include a rhythm of rest. Driven means relentlessly compelled by the need to accomplish. And it doesn't, gender doesn't matter here, personality doesn't matter here. We all have some place where we're driven. It's different. It's interesting how you can, you know, get a group of people together and talk about the things they're striving to accomplish. And you know, as is true of so many areas of our life, I can look at somebody else and go, man, that guy's got a problem. But the thing I'm driving for, I mean, that's valid, and you know, that's different. We all have something that we drive to do, and this bubbles up in that end of verse 2 of our opening passage where he said, whoever does any work on it must be put to death. That terrible, you know, like, what? Don't rest and you'll die? It's not that God will kill us. And remember the progression of our learning as a race of human beings. How God rescued a people who were ingrained in a whole different culture. They had been enslaved in Egypt for 430 years, and they had a whole bunch of customs of worshiping many gods and a different approach to relationships and everything, so that when God gave them these dramatic divisions of things and stark. I just read through, I'm in Leviticus in the Old Testament part of my yearly reading, and like God is saying, if you don't do this, you'll be cut off. You'll be cut off. You'll be cut off. You'll be cut. It's drastic, like excommunicate. Some of them actually mean in this way could be life losing. But we know that's not God's heart, right? We all know God doesn't want to kill us. Not if you know that. Okay. God does not want to kill us. He doesn't have that big goofy hammer. He doesn't have it. But what happens as he showed them, it just shows you how obtuse we are, how dull we are, how thick our heads are, that it has taken thousands of years for us to get to the place now where we know there's a principle underlying an actual something that actually happened to them, and now we can apply it in a different way and come to the conclusion that if I don't take my rhythm of rest, I'm going to kill myself. You have experienced it when you've worked yourself to the bone and you have nearly nothing left. You will say, I have nothing left, but you keep going. So, you know, you're working on fumes. What you do is doesn't have as much value and impact anymore, but you just keep doing it. We're all familiar with that. Man, you're killing yourself. You need to take a break. I'm killing myself. I need to take a break. This is the danger of being driven. As the Word reminds us, Psalm 127:2, first, it is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. That's a promise. Isn't it cool that in the beginning there's a requirement of the rhythm of rest, but here there's a promise that if you are connected with God. If you have a relationship with Christ, rest is for you. It is offered to you, so you don't have to, again, we go back to the thinking we have to earn it somehow. In a passage that's become central in this series, I just lifted the one verse, 29 from Matthew 11, as Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." It's offered, it's guaranteed. And then Jesus said this, Matthew 12:30, "He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters." So to me, rest is just, not just, rest is one of the many components of surrender to Christ that we have in our lives, that when we begin to forsake one of them and disobey them, we can be led down a road where he means little or nothing to us. We're not engaged in him anymore. There's a real danger, and I'm not saying rest is the biggest, but it is one that if we don't pay attention to what God calls us to do in a rhythmic rest, we can get far away from who Jesus is. And who wants to do that? Especially when we understand that rest is good for us. It's refreshing to us, and it gives us an opportunity to step back and see what is good. Sometimes remind ourselves, oh, this is good, isn't it? Now you see here on your handout, I have spiritual separation in the next section, a stricken out, but I couldn't figure out in ProPresenter how to strike it out, so I put an X up there. So you know, we've covered that one. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about the realm of rest, entering the realm of rest, like the realm of Harbor Freight, guys, the realm of Hobby Lobby, some other of you. I'm going to get in trouble for something. Can't help it. Coming into Christ and being in relationship to him enters us into the realm of rest. And so as we commit to start implementing or get better at coming into our regular rhythm of rest, it will affect the physical decline, the spiritual warfare, the relational tension, and the draining work that we talked about in week one. And you enter your thing, because these are broad categories, but you know yourself what drains you. You know yourself what taxes you. You know yourself what gets you to the place where you need to be renewed in a certain area. It is a danger to be driven away from the requirement of rhythmic rest from God. It's just dangerous. In our relationship to him, it's dangerous to ourselves. It's danger to the people around us because we run out. So number three is the composition of rhythmic rest. So we'll refer back to the original passage, Exodus 35. "But the seventh day shall be a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord." That's the phrase we can hang on to as we kind of work through what rest is supposed to look like. This is hard. It shouldn't be, but it is. Not because it isn't in and of itself, but of all the layers that have been put on what rest can be over the years, over the centuries, over the millennia, and here we find ourselves, unknowingly, unwittingly, a lot, some of it we're complicit and have allowed in. So the first thing he talks about in that verse in Exodus is it should be devoted. A is devoted. Devoted to the Lord is the qualifier in there. Devoted means that I do it for this reason. So we know it is to the Lord. It is according to who he is. It is in the way of who he is. It is in obedience of him. It is in imitation of him. That's what devoted is. It needs to be devoted. I have to say, I'm resting, and this is the rhythmic portion. Next week, we're going to talk about those times where you just come up and got to get a rest and how to recognize that and how to escape and have other things in their place so you actually get rest. There is trust involved in this devotedness because the truth is in a rhythmic rest, so it's kind of a commitment, that word's going to come up again too, commitment to a rhythmic rest, some things will go undone. Something can't be done if you've decided to do something else because we can't do everything all at once or even all. Trusting God to handle the things that are left undone while we are resting. And here we have a quote from Jesus in Mark chapter 2. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Now, we haven't mentioned that word until now, but we started out this series, if you remember, defining that Sabbath seventh. And that first rest in Genesis when God finished creation was, it was the seventh day. So there's a whole word family here with common roots, but they have different shades of meaning in it, or understandings of meaning. There's one meaning in the Sabbath family that is rest, break from, and there is another meaning of Sabbath is this day of worship. They're combined. They were combined for the Israelites in the same day, the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Still, the Jewish community celebrates Saturday as the Sabbath. So it, a good question to ask as you're devoting a seventh or one seventh of your week. Just choose what seventh that is. Is HWJR. How would Jesus rest? How would Jesus rest? So that means I'm devoting it to the Lord. So it, because you know how we can rest. We can rest by doing something we shouldn't do. We could rest by doing something that it's not time for us to do. We could, and we're calling it rest. The truth is, it's not real rest. If we're not getting real rest, then what we really need to recover from it is not going to happen, and we're not going to receive it. How would Jesus rest? In the way you decide to take Sabbath in this sense, more on that in just a second, what would Jesus be doing with his time? There you go. So we have a whole list of things we can do. And one of the first things we have to determine is this something Jesus would do, or this is something he wouldn't? So we just lop off a whole bunch of things. Devoted is one. It is to the Lord. You're resting because God told you to. You're resting because he created, and all the goodness that we celebrate come down through him. Not just 6 days of creation, but our whole lives and everything he's done in your life. D, the composition of rhythmic rest, it is designated. I wrote this one in this morning too. It could be declared. It's a D word too. You have to set it. It ain't going to happen on its own. You don't wait for time to open up, or it won't happen. I know this stuff. Let me tell you, I know this stuff. It's planned. Holy day, back in Exodus, our opening passage, but the seventh day shall be your holy day. Holy means set apart. On purpose, I set it apart. When Diana and I started, when we got married, I was working at Living Hope, the place. That's probably why it came in. And I was an associate pastor and had a ball there, not being responsible for everything, but doing a bunch of stuff. I mean, I was a workaholic. I worked there. I was probably there 7 days a week. I painted murals. I did sound and lights and computer. I did drama and all that stuff. And I was single, of course, and that had something to do with the fact. But I'd drive. I had a 45-minute drive to get to work. That church was in Alpena, and I lived in Atlanta. So I had to drive there, which was awesome because I prayed there and I prayed back, and it was nice. Boundary time of prayer, but man, I just poured myself, and then when we got married, it became evident that 7 days of 8, 9, 10 hours a day probably wasn't very healthy, and you have to set that time aside. And I will say, I haven't been successful at doing that regularly until we moved here to Linden. So the whole time we were at Living Hope, and then we went to the Gaylord Church, I tried, and you know. Oh, and Westwood Heights. Oh, that's right. I forgot about Westwood Heights. And then here, I had to designate. My day is Friday. Maybe you guys don't know that. A lot of pastors take Mondays off. When you think about calling me on Friday, I might not pick up the phone or get back with you because that's my regular Sabbath. That is my rest Sabbath. Now, we're not talking here about worship Sabbath. That's a different subject. Now, we have made that in our thinking that today is our Sabbath. But if you come here and worship for an hour, hour and a half, but you go home and work and don't rest, then it's really not your Sabbath. Not taking away that, I'm not saying you didn't worship. So you see there's two factors that we've combined, and God did combine it for them when he gave those commands at first. But it has to be designated. It's devoted to the Lord. It's designated. Jesus often did this. Mark 6:31 is one example. Then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. He designated, here's the time. We need a day of rest. Stop everything we're planning. We're going away. We're going to have a time of rest. They had been busy ministering two by two, casting out demons and healing people and preaching the gospel and seeing people come to Jesus. And that has to be rewarding. It is. Ministry is rewarding, but man, it sucks the energy out of you too. And Jesus, they didn't say, oh, we're tired. We need some rest. Jesus said, nah, we got to plan this. We're gonna take some time. So the concept here is one out of seven. Seven means Sabbath, or in that word family of Sabbath, is the seventh day. So we need to figure out how to take one day out of seven to rest. And you may be thinking, one whole day? That's the goal, folks. I realize where we're at, but I want to challenge you to head that way. I don't know where you are. And this is a time where we're going to step on a few toes. There are two things required to be able to designate and begin to live out this day of rest, a seventh, one day of every week, so that the emergency needs for rest will not be as frequent or as severe when you're in a rhythm of rest, because you're getting fed. It's just like you have three meals a day, and if you go without them, you feel the effects. Now, yes, you can fast and all that good stuff, but you know what I mean, right? If you go too long, it takes away from you instead of adds to you, and it's the same thing in this walk with the Lord in this subject of rest. So it takes two things. The first, in an asterisk, is a personal time study. I just recommend this. I'm not really good at this kind of detail, but that's probably the biggest. You could pray about that anytime. The details. I'm an over 30,000 foot guy. I like to fly over and see how things are and kind of make suggestions here. When I get down and have to do the details, I struggle. I'm struggling in my Bonhoeffer project because of that, and we're at the detail stage. And so anyway, a personal time study. How do I use my time? So this is not a judgment of good, bad, or ugly, or what these time things are. How much time do you spend on the things that you do in your world? You need to pay attention to that, or this will never happen. And then, after you make a study of time, you need to decide what's going to be dropped off, what's going to be changed, what you're going to be let go. So let's offend everybody. Let's offend parents of children now. And we say, I just had a recent conversation with a bunch of pastors who had children. I'm beyond that little children stage quite a ways, but And they were talking about their schedules and how, well, all the sports and all the extracurriculars, and we don't want them to miss anything. And I'm sitting back in my chair going, wait a minute. If we encourage them to do everything that's available out in the world, what about our obligation to be like Jesus? What about our obligation to follow what God has? And I can tell you from being the parent of children who aren't where I hope they would be, that I would much rather that they missed some school things and had some more Jesus things and find that they were following Jesus closely, because all that experience they have, and so there's basketball and football and wrestling and there's volleyball and there's golf and there's choir and there's band and there's, you tick off some more, there's way more, there's stuff. When I was a kid, the options were few. This takes courage for parents of young children to say they don't have to have every experience, especially if I'm sacrificing their experience with Jesus. So you are coming up with the time you will rest, and you're showing kids that they need to rest. And as families, often we do that, of course, in our home. Now, you all know Pastor's Day of Rest is not today. It's not Sunday. We have a lot of effort in it, but it still was after church and before evening church, which was what it was for many years. We had our day of rest with the kids, and we squeezed it in. There are some things and cycles in this world that we do have to pay attention to. Let's step on the toes of people who are really connected to family. You can't go to every family event if all those family events keep you from having rest. You got to sacrifice something somewhere along the line. This one's easier for me because I'm not as driven, but we have children and grandchildren. We have nieces and nephews. One of the first things we did when we got married, within months of us first getting married, is we flew to Texas to see her niece. And I remember when we were in high school, she was a senior and I was a junior, right? When Elizabeth had when your sister had Elizabeth. And she decided not to go on the senior trip to Cedar Point and went to the delivery. I'd have been at Cedar Point, truthfully. I'd have been at Cedar Point. None of that's bad. The opportunities your kids have at school aren't bad. Family gatherings aren't bad. Matter of fact, they're commended in the Word, but they can't control all our time. Or we don't have time to rest, and we don't have time to rest rhythmically. We will get that pile up on our back and going, I gotta get out of here. We might do something stupid. We might hurt somebody. We might walk away. Senior citizens, you rest every day, right? There's still something here, and I don't know how to put a finger on it. Ziggy, as you said, you haven't had a vacation in 20 years. You've been retired about 20 years. Somehow we need to, as senior citizens, evaluate our 7 days and say, there is a day I need to give to the Lord. Now, it could be today, because we worship today. That's a good one, but it doesn't have to be if your Sundays are crowded with some other things that you might call obligations. It doesn't matter where you're at. Single folks who have all their time to themselves. So I had 5 years as an older adult in my late 40s, early 50s, when I was single, before Diana and I got married. And I could arrange all that time however I wanted. Well, unless I wanted to follow the Lord. And that's when I got involved at Living Hope and was on staff and so busy that I didn't take my day of rest. We need that too. It's almost brutal to say it. But you know how culture has gripped us. We can be busy doing everything. And here's the thing. We do this. I wish I had my phone. We're sitting around watching TV at night, watching the program, and looking at our phone. You guys do that? Does anybody do that? Yeah. Sometimes we look up stuff about the show, the cast, and what they're doing now. But often it's just this endless scroll of information that we can be involved in. Let me tell you something. That's not rest to the Lord. Set aside a seventh of a week. This is challenging. So first of all, know this. I'm in the struggle with you. I want you to succeed because I know what it will do. I have really benefited from coming to Friday. You know, like Sunday's just shortly after Friday. I have to be ready for Sunday. And sometimes on Thursday, it's not where I want it to be. And if I have to make myself walk away. But let me tell you what's never happened. God has never failed to have me ready in some form. No, you might have thought, well, he wasn't very ready this morning. But he's always come through, and he'll always come through with you. But we need to work on what that looks like. So devoted, designated, different is the last. Different. The word work that he used here in Exodus, whoever does any work on it must be put to death, that's in verse 2 of Exodus 35 that we started out with, is a very specific word about occupation, about your work, about your business, about making money. So that's helpful to know that having a day of rest doesn't need to be like it was in the 50s and 60s in the Christian church, where you couldn't do anything, you couldn't watch TV, you couldn't go out. I got in trouble at my first church because some neighbors across the road saw me walk out to the mailbox on Sunday afternoon and put mail in it and put up the flag because I was working. So we're human, we do that, we've gone through cycles, we try to be good, and by the way, that's a good reminder that sometimes we'll get stuff wrong as a church too. We're trying to be like Jesus, but sometimes, just like the Pharisees, coming out of the exile, they didn't want to ever lose their country again, so they thought they better make more laws to make sure they followed God, and they just messed everything up. We'll do that from time to time. So I'm not being too hard on those folks who are trying their best to honor God. But it's doing something different. I remember my dad's friend Avery, who had a farm. He had three or four John Deere tractors. He raised the worst hay you've ever... It wasn't alfalfa. It was the worst hay, I mean, but that's what he did. And he was well retired by that time, but he still did it. He had a couple of cows and this giant hog, this breeding hog. It would look like a hippopotamus. There's lots of work on a farm. We have farmers in our midst. But there's lots of work where you work, too. But he, on Sunday, would not put the plow in. Work to be done. He had to milk the cows. If cows had to be milked, you got to do that. That's different. And he honored the Lord by doing that. We learned a lot from him. What a character. But it's that thinking about setting something aside. So there's a little subset under there after, the seventh day shall be your day. And then he says, whoever does any work must be put to death. And then in verse 3, do not light a fire in your dwelling. Now, and there's some time, I did some research on this. It's very interesting that some people thought, maybe some still do, I don't know, but for some time, some people thought you couldn't heat your house on Sunday. Come on. I mean, do we need to go there? We're beyond this now. It is that industry. One of the things that contributed to that admonition was they were getting ready all the elements of the tabernacle, and there was lots of work to be done to get the skins for the covering and all the offerings to make all the articles of the tent where God would come down and meet with Moses, and they'd do the sacrifices as they traveled around in the wilderness for 40 years. So part of this admonition to not light a fire was, don't be doing this preparation stuff on the Sabbath. Give it a break. Give it a rest. The manna, so God's heavenly food that those people in Israel ate for 40 years while they wandered in the desert, he gave them an example of how to prepare for Sabbath by giving them a double portion Friday morning and said, don't go out on the Sabbath and gather any of it because there won't be any. And there wasn't. So when you're preparing your seventh, your Sabbath, and working toward it, he's saying, whatever you can do to give you space in the day that you're taking a rest, do ahead of time. Minimize the things that lead to industry that you have to do. We still have to eat. I don't know any Christian family, and now this probably happened, but not in my circle, that didn't either feed their family on Sunday, and didn't. Sometimes it was the biggest meal of the day, Sunday afternoon after church. But that wasn't work, occupation, making money. It was providing. Jesus showed us a couple of things. Meals are great on the Sabbath. Jesus got in trouble because he was walking through a wheat field on the Sabbath day with his disciples, and they'd grab a head of grain, they'd rub it and get all the chaff up and pop it in their mouth and eat it. And the Pharisees said, whoa, you're working on the Sabbath. And Jesus said, David ate something holy on the Sabbath, and David was your king. And that's actually what happened before Jesus said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Rest for us. Doing good is great on the Sabbath. It's not work. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. My favorite story is the man with the withered hand. I don't know why. I think it's because of the effort. Jesus did this on purpose. He'd go to the synagogue, and they'd read their scrolls and whatever else they did in their liturgy, and then he saw a guy, and he would ask, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? And of course, all the Pharisees are going, I'm not sure how to answer that, so I'm not going to say anything. We're just going to hope he does something wrong and we can kill him for it, which they eventually did. And there was a guy with a withered hand, whatever that means, and he said, stretch out your hand. And the guy stretched out his hand, and as he did it, it was healed. And Jesus said, see, it's good. It's okay to do good. So I can work in the construction industry 6 days a week, and I could help a friend build something on my seventh Sabbath as part of my Sabbath And it's the same function, but it's not the work of me making money. It's me doing good on behalf of someone else. And isn't that the way Jesus rested? He did good, he healed, he taught, he went along and left everything in God's hands. Good is great on the Sabbath, your Sabbath. Not, this is not our Sunday particularly. Meals are great, living is great. Back to the beginning, as we reviewed week one, and the reason God instituted rest in the first place before sin, it's still valid that we're celebrating God's goodness. So it means celebrating God's goodness in whatever you're doing. I've been in places and churches that frowned on people going boating on Sunday. Is this to the Lord that you're doing? Now, if you got a keg in the boat and you're getting wasted and stuff like that, that ain't to the Lord. That's not to the Lord. Jesus wasn't like that. But going out and boating and seeing the goodness of how he made it and his providence to allow you to have a boat, that's good. We had a chapter on this in our Bonhoeffer project. I keep referencing it, but it's taken a lot of my life and attention. Helped me in this because I needed help to remember that it is the goodness that you celebrate. Now, you shouldn't zone out in front of the TV all day, but it's okay to watch a little TV. It's okay to watch football. It's not legalistic. It's a separation and a difference from the striving. And God says you need to have a rhythm. The rhythm will affect the emergency crisis rest you need. It will help us in how we rest in the midst of things, because that's one of the toughest things when we talk about that in the next few weeks. When things don't stop, how I can still find rest in the middle of them. They're all affected by whether you have rhythmic rest. Do you have rhythmic rest in your life? Are you endeavoring to carve out that seventh? It's going to take some courage in the face of people who don't strive to do this. It will point at you and try to get you to join everyone else. I go back to this. This is right in the middle of something I underlined. It's not been up on the screen or anything, but I said it once. How about my obligation to imitate Christ? There's nothing more important, nothing more impactful than me making a priority to follow him. That's what it means. Obligation may be a trip-up word for you. If so, take it out. It means my privilege of imitating Christ, which he has called us to do, and he's called us to do it with rest, rhythmic rest. So, rest from at the bottom. That's our three rests. Rest from, rest in, and rest for I've had you working on. I want you to spend some time looking at how you can begin or increase your Sabbath of rest. This time study, this what can I cut out and how am I going to do it? And once you make a change, if you're in a family and you're making a change and the family's doing a whole other set of things, you will be pressured not to. Let me ask you this. Stand firm. God is with you when you do it his way. And your family needs what you're leading them to do so that they can have rest. So there's a bunch of lines there on your handout. It's up to you. You got stuff to do. Access the Lord. Call one another. Let one another know. Have an another. You know, if you don't have an another, find one. There's a whole room full of them here. And just grab somebody and say, will you be my another that I can call or we can talk and I can say, here's my issue and we can pray about it. Doesn't it all have to be brought? Obviously, it will not all be brought in front of the congregation. But we need to access the help we have one another from one another in Christ, because we can't find this rhythmic rest alone. We need help to do that. So let's stand and dismiss in prayer as the praise team comes up to sing the doxology, and then let's get to resting. Lord, man, how important it is that we can come back to you and not come to the conclusion that I came up with a good idea and here's a program and here's a schedule, and we have enough of that. Everyone is exposed to people trying to impress those things on us, that all we have to do is look back, and it's right from the beginning of your word that you set that standard for us. And No other time has it been more needed that we find rhythmic rest. And I know as time goes on, that will increase. And we will also be pulled to be busy and maybe even saying, doing good things. And I know you want us to be involved in good in this world, but you don't want us to do that unendingly without the good we need in getting away and having our seventh of this week of rest, of a separation from this normal routine we have day after day after day and the pressures that come along with it. We need your help. That is clear, Lord. And what is equally clear is your help is there for us. So link us with that. Help us to cry out to you. Give us time. Help us to set aside time to pray into this, to think into this, to analyze what our world is like in the swirl of activity, and then be open to the way you'll help us see what needs to change. Because I just want to say, Lord, I'm not good at deciding, but you know what's best for me and for every person in this room, every person who's watching, every person in the world. You know where those points need to change to find the rest you intended for us to have, given in sinlessness, but continued with sin in the world. And what we need what you offer, Lord. We want to be full and charged and empowered to do your will, to follow your calling, to help people know Jesus loves them and wants to rescue them from an empty life now and a perilous eternity, and welcome them into your presence now and forever. So help us to do that, get this rhythm of rest. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.